Well, this morning we are continuing our series, Love Came Down, as we look at the wonder of God's love come down in Jesus as we celebrate this Christmas season. And we've been looking at love's revelation, love's response, and this week we come to look at love's rejoice. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I pray you do, please grab them and turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 46. And before we do that, I want to make one quick announcement, something that we can kind of celebrate together. John and Ardeen Ritzma have celebrated this last week, their 62nd wedding anniversary. And we want to just rejoice on that as we go into service. So we are so thankful to have them a part of our church family and an example to us all. And so we thank you for the love you've shown throughout the years, an example you are to us all. Well, this morning, let's grab now to Luke chapter 1. There is joy, laughter coming. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come now to your word, and we plead that you would impart the truth and the wonder of its message to us this morning. Father, we pray for receptive hearts and minds that we may ponder the wonderful things that you are telling us, just as Mary did, that we would hide these things in our hearts, and that we would experience a joy unlike any other. And so, Father, we ask this morning that you would put us on the pathway to joy. Joy in moments when circumstances would dictate otherwise. A joy that is found only in you and you alone. Lord, would you give that to us this morning? For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's been a lot of famous advertising, marketing schemes and slogans throughout the years. And one, if you remember, had the simple message, "How do you spell relief?" All right, you remember that one? Who remembers that one? All right, what's the answer? R-O-L-A-I-D-S, right? Rolaids. Rolaids. And the question, and in the pain and the discomfort, the question is, where do you find the relief? What are its ingredients? Now, this morning, I want us to ask the question, how do you spell joy? How do you spell joy in the midst of the pain, the discomfort, the risk, and the uncertainty? Where do you find it? For most of us, we know that many of ours and others' answers don't exactly pass the test. And this morning, we want to come to look at a young woman whose answer did. A girl, most likely somewhere between 14 and 16 years old, in love with another young boy, longing for what her life would be. And one day, God would come and to show up at her doorstep, and everything would change. Now, our passage this morning is often called the Magnificat, based upon the first Greek word in the Latin in this section of Scripture, which simply means magnify. That it stands as the very first Christmas carol. And at its very core, it's a message all about joy. You see, there is a joy that comes, and a joy that comes with singing. I call it, there's regular joy, and then there's Disney musical joy. I mean, there's the joy that you have normally with good events, and then the joy that in the midst of a conversation between you and someone else, you start singing, I'm so happy. I mean, there's something that changes when you're like, what's going on here? Then in the midst, you feel such joy that you can't stand still, and you have to begin expressing and singing it in the moment. Can we all agree that's a different level of joy? If Joel Busker begins to sing and shout in the midst of a conversation, I'll have a heart attack, number one. Number two is that there should be like, there must be something so amazing at the center that he can't help but express itself through song. And that's exactly what we find happening in this passage. There's a joy that is breaking out from the very heart of Mary that can't stay silent. And when we look at her song and the substance of the song, we find a lot and learn about Mary. This was a humble young woman who was absorbed in the scriptures. Throughout the song, we have allusions to Genesis, Deuteronomy, 1 and 2 Samuel, Job, Psalms, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Micah, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah. And the very core is kind of like her own riff and remix of a song sung by another woman named Hannah years before. In 1 Samuel 2, 1 and 7 through 8, we hear Hannah praying and singing, my heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. Surely the substance of her song is quite remarkable. That it's a joy exhibited at a different level. But what so boggles my mind is not merely the substance found in the song of this young woman, but the circumstances in which it is found. I mean, begin thinking about the details of her circumstances. I mean, how does a teenage girl whom God has asked to sacrifice her reputation, her relationships, and her dreams, a girl who risked her love and even the quality or even the quantity of her life, respond in a way like this? In such circumstances, how did she spell joy? What we're going to find as we look to Luke chapter 1, we're going to find three ways in which joy happens. And the first one is that joy happens when we submit to God's plan. Now remember, in verse 26 to 38, all of a sudden, Mary's just doing her ordinary scheme of things, and all of a sudden, an angel pops up. Now remember, why do angels always say, do not be afraid? Because they're pretty scary. I mean, maybe the way for us to understand why, as he comes and brings this message saying, you are highly favored, we read that Mary's kind of like a little uncertain about what this means. Now imagine you're at your home doing your normal everyday thing. Maybe it's a Saturday, you're out doing your lawn work or shoveling the driveway or washing dishes, cleaning up the house, and all of a sudden you had a knock at the door and these guys show up. All right? Anytime IRS or any federal agents show up at your doorstep, what are you thinking? This may not go down well. Right? What does this mean? You're probably not expecting them to come and say, excuse me, ma'am, sir, we've been overcharging you for like your whole life. So we want to come and bring you a check personally. That's usually not what you're expecting to hear. And so you can imagine Mary's surprise and uncertainty. What message is this agent of the Lord about to bring me? And he tells her the most impossible of stories, that she would be found with child, and this child would be no ordinary child, but the promised Messiah, the Son of God. Now certainly as we read here, she had some questions, right? Number one, Lord, angel, I'm young, but I'm not stupid. How is this going to happen? Birds and the bees, all that. How is this going to come together? And the angel says, you'll be overshadowed. Which I'm certain Mary's kind of like, okay. You know, like, there's not really, like, he's really laid down exactly what's about to transpire. But he says to her, nothing will be impossible with God. What's amazing is this young woman's response. And she said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. You know, she certainly had questions, but she acknowledged that this path was the path that God had set out before her. She would not drag her feet. She would not kick and scream, but she would humble herself and walk step by step down this pathway as he led her. But despite her questions, despite the risk, and despite the cost, this young woman said yes to God. And when I look at your lives and wonder what God may be calling you to go down, what pathway is he leading you, which even as you speak, know that it will bring discomfort and uncertainty. You've got questions. You have reservations. You know that there are much risk and much cost to the turn in the highway of your life. And you have a choice. Will you submit and say, as Mary did, let it be to me according to your word, or will you object? You know, those moments when God brings something in our pathway that we aren't exactly expecting, we struggle. I know many of you right now have that along your pathway, and there's a struggle going on in your very hearts. And what you need to see this morning as we look to Mary is that the pathway to joy begins as we humble ourselves before God and realize that this may not be the story I wanted to write for myself, but this is his story, and God always writes a better story, right? You can look back, if you've lived long enough, look back to your story and seen those moments when you really thought that you knew what was best for your life. I mean, I had my plan. In about 4 years, a certain Senator Phil Covert's about to run for office, and I was going to be a president. FYI, that was my I was that weird kid in grade school. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be a lawyer. Then be this. I had my life all planned out, and God had a better plan. Now I realize how much better that plan was. I would never want that job. You see, it begins when we submit ourselves, saying that God has a better plan. He's leading in some different ways. And though it may not be to our liking, may not be according to our schedule or to our plan, God is leading. We must come and humble ourselves under his sovereign plan and purpose and say, God, here I am. All right, if this is the road you've called out for me, I'm going to walk. Just go with me. Go with me as I walk this path. And then I may realize the truthfulness of James 4:10, that when we humble ourselves, God himself will lift us up. And I always know that my grandfather longed to be a pastor of a local church. But for 50 years of his life, God had a different plan. So he was called to work with the homeless and with addicts. And after World War II, he was called to a mid-size steel town in western Pennsylvania to take over this little dying rescue mission. Thinking it was a stepping stone to other things, he began his ministry, thinking eventually it would lead in a different direction. Year after year, had good times and bad, a particularly hard stretch where money was hard to find. But as his life went on, in a span of 50 years, he expanded this once small little ministry to homeless and the addicts to get a new, larger facility with new programs and services. He helped start a women's crisis shelter that would help women who were in abusive relationships. They built a house for those who lost their homes through fire. He began a pregnancy resource center to help those who were considering aborting their children. They started a youth center that served thousands upon thousands of underprivileged kids in the community. 2 thrift stores to help fund the mission and to help those who needed more with less. A camp was beginning for kids who never would experience a camp in their life. And through it all, homeless addicts and underprivileged kids were all served and all heard about Jesus because Grandpa submitted to God's plan. You know, what we often find is that joy is often hidden in the pathway of submission and the uncertain times of life. We often think that joy can only be found on the mountaintops, but the reality is that God hides hidden jewels and gems in the midst of the valleys, in the hard spots of life. And if we long to walk on this pathway of joy, it begins by us merely submitting to His plan. The second thing is we find is joy happens when we believe God's word. Losing your reputation, being misunderstood, risking your relationships, and letting go of your dreams hardly sounds like blessing, does it? Like, hey, I feel blessed today. Yep, all my future gone. All my hopes driven away. Yeah, probably my fiance's gonna leave me. You know, it's everything's great. But what's interesting, you look to the story, is that an angel, an elderly woman, and a child in the womb in his own little way were all crying out to her the same way that God's plan for her all revolved around blessing. Greetings, though highly favored of the Lord. Elizabeth would say, verse 42, and she exclaimed with a loud cry. I mean, she's not just like, hey, you're blessed. It's like, blessed, sister! I mean, that's a loud cry, right? So loud cry, Elizabeth screams out, you're blessed. Blessed are you, young women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what God had spoken to her from the Lord. If you're like me, throughout your life, there have been people in your lives who told you true things about God's promises and blessings to you. And if you're really honest with yourself, you believed it. But its scope, its height, its width, and its breadth didn't really come and really sink down to the depths of your soul, right? For some of you, maybe when you first came to Jesus, you knew you were a sinner. Hopefully that's increased. You realize, oh, I only knew half the story back then. That today, the more and more as I walk this life, as I walk with Jesus, I'm seeing more and more of the heights and the depths and the widths of God's love for me. And Jesus, I see how much He has and is and will have to forgive me. That there is this growth in the wonder and faith of God's promises to us in Jesus. You see, it's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to believe it. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. And to hear those words from the angel, nothing is impossible with God. And what we find in the beginning of this song is that she had heard it from an angel, heard and seen it from an old woman and a young child, and now she believes it to the depths of her soul. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me what? Blessed. You see, when all of a sudden God's promises aren't just merely hearsay, but begin to trickle down to the very depths and recesses of our hearts, what breaks out is worship. That when I get the wonder of God's word to me and I bank on it, that the reality of why Jesus came was for someone as screwed up as me, not by my works, but by His grace. When I get the wonder of God's grace to me, when I really get it, all I can say is I am blessed. Because a child was given. I wonder how in your life you've been told those same truths over and over again. They've told you the blessings, the promise of God.
And you understand, I believe, but there still is much left in unbelief. And we need to remember that moment is that as Jesus reminds us that faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. That as the one man struggling with the healing of his daughter said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And we've seen this moment that we, like Mary, can see that there definitely was faith and belief early on, but it grew and grew as God confirmed time and time again the truthfulness of his word. You see, often we think of faith like a light switch. On, off, on, off, on, off. The reality is that faith is a lot more like a dimmer switch. There is that point in difference between on and off, right? There clearly is off and there's the rest of it. But what happens? As the dial is turned up, the light increases as well. And what you will find as you walk in the pathway of joy, as you walk in the pathway of following and believing in God, believing in his promises, is that he gives you confirmation time and time again. God had promised her, prophesied to her through the angel Gabriel, that there would be her cousin Elizabeth who would be found to be with child even in old age. So Mary takes this long, arduous journey, potentially putting her life at risk, to go see her cousin Elizabeth. And what does she find? A pregnant woman in the nursing home. What do you think happened that moment to Mary's faith? Turn it up a notch. What do you think happened when Elizabeth says, the moment I heard your voice, my child? I mean, I've never experienced a baby in the womb. Let me show that. Let me own up to that. But I've touched it before. I'm a wife. But there's moments where you can feel it kicking, and there's something she experienced that this was not just really coincidental timing. It was clearly she felt this child leap for joy when the mother of the Son of God came on the scene. Do you remember what Luke 2 tells us about Mary? She did what with all these things in her heart? She pondered. She meditated. This whole time, Mary is just absorbing and taking in the words and the prompts of God and seeing God moment after moment confirm his word to her, showing her the truthfulness of his promise and of the joy he would give to her. See, when the truth of God's promises sink into our hearts, it translates into confidence. And that confidence in our hearts breaks out in worship. But that's not the end, for we find a third thing, that joy happens when we perceive God's grace. And we begin to look at the very substance of the song. And the question is, why does she rejoice? In what does she rejoice? This is, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in who? In God, my Savior. That the source of her joy is found when she begins to trace God's grace, when she begins to perceive God's grace in her life, when she sees the God who is and the God who does great things for her. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He said he has mercy for those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He had scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. At that moment, she's considering this calling upon her life and saying, I don't get why God would give me this privilege. I don't get why God would give me this blessing. Truly, Mary was humble and a wonderful young woman who feared God, loved God. But she wasn't the only one. Surely, if you're going to send the Son of God into the world, you might want to send him other than a home that's going to be relying on food stamps, right? At least give him a nice middle-class suburban lifestyle. You know, the kid's got to get a Game Boy. How is he going to make it through those junior high years? And she realizes as she looks through her life, I'm a young woman from a two-bit town. I don't have much. And among all the women in the history of the world, God has graced me with this privilege. And she realizes that this grace happened not because of anything she had to offer, but surely by the mere sheer grace of God, and she was simply amazed. You see, when all of a sudden, through these circumstances, through the hearing of the word and the confirmations of that word, she met every step along the way, and she began to see beyond the questions, beyond the discomfort, beyond the pain, and began to see the sheer joy that was offered in the one who had given her this assignment. You see, as she walked in this pathway, she saw more of the God who had called her to this path. Her eyes had beheld him. She recognized it was his plan, his word, and his grace was the center of her story. Her life was all about him. And when she understood the heights and the depths and the wonders of that God, she broke out in song. She learned that joy happens when even in the moments that life is filled with danger and uncertainty, when life is filled with discomfort and pain, that God's grace is constantly interweaving in the story. It's always present. A few weeks ago, I had the blessing of going and to meet with Ruth Tamling right after she had lost her husband, Pete. If you don't know Ruth, she is just about the sweetest woman on the face of the planet. For those who know her, you can all say a hearty amen, right? And I always stood, and I was blessed as I always am, meeting with Ruth. And through the tears, and through all the grief, losing the husband she loved so dear, she kept on telling me, God is so good. He's been so gracious to us. And I sat there watching this woman exhibit such faith, because in the grief, she began to sing the fingerprints of her God, of his goodness and of his grace. And she wondered and marveled that she stood as a testimony of someone whose eyes were fixed upon him, someone who knew how joy was spelled. How is joy spelled? J-E-S-U-S. If you recall, what was the statement of the angels to the shepherds lying in the fields by night? I bring you good news of what? Great joy that shall be for all the people. That Mary rejoiced in her heart. That Elizabeth said, blessed are you. The great promise to Abram that all nations shall be blessed through this child. You see, she got in the midst of her story, in the midst of the burden and the privilege of this calling, what she saw that joy is only spelled one way, and it's Jesus. And I wonder this morning, if you were really honest with yourself, how would you spell it? Would it be spelled in riches, in power, in security, in a spouse? Is joy spelt in the names of your children and your circumstances? And we're not denying that there's a bit of happiness and joy in all those things, but what we're talking is the ultimate joy, the ultimate relief. What do you, where do you find it? How do you spell it? And the question before us this morning and this Christmas season is how will you this day and every day from here on out spell joy in your life? If it's in your circumstances, they will fail you. If it's others, they will leave you. If it's in Him, it will be eternal and can never be taken away. Don't fail the test. And learn your spelling right now. That our hope, our relief, our joy is J-E-S-U-S. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that life is hard, often uncertain, and there are many in this room who face the uncertainty of a road before them that they did not choose. But I pray, understanding the joy of knowing a God who loves them and is guiding and directing this path before them for good things that they cannot see at the moment. The Father, in the midst of the valleys, they shall see those hidden gems of joy. Those hidden gems that point to the beauty and wonder of a God who loved us despite ourselves, despite our sin, despite the lowliness of our state, and has turned the world upside down, that we may know the wonder of knowing His Son. Lord, I pray that this Christmas season, joy shall break out in lives in this room and throughout this community as we walk the pathway of joy, submitting to Your plan, believing Your word, and Father, tracing Your grace. Lord, thank You for loving us, for leading us, and for never leaving us alone. Thank You for Christ. We ask this in His name. Amen.